What is eternal life? That's a really important question that any person could ask. And if you were to ask just the random person on the street, or perhaps if you were to ask many Christians, what is eternal life? You might get an answer, something like, well, eternal life, that's living forever in heaven. And, you know, there's truth in that response, but it's only a part of the answer. In fact, when Jesus was praying to God in John chapter 17, he addressed this, and I think he addressed it, for me, kind of in a surprising way, because he said, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Now, notice what he doesn't say. Jesus didn't define eternal life as living forever. He didn't, in fact, define it as a place or as a time period, but he defined eternal life in terms of a relationship. And if eternal life is a relationship, then eternal life does not begin the day that I die, but rather the day that I know him. Now, this means that the greatest blessing that God has ever given is himself. And if that is true, then the greatest tragedy is not simply missing heaven, but rather the greatest tragedy is living your whole life and never truly knowing God. Now, this leads us to another question, and I think it's a question that Jesus intends for us to ask. How do you get to know someone you've never seen? How do you get to know someone you've never met? How do you get to know someone who is invisible? Someone you've never seen face to face. Well, Jesus kind of asked this question in a little bit different way in John chapter 5. And in verses 37 and 39, Jesus said, "And the Father who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me." He says, you've never seen God. The scriptures, though, introduce us to the God that we have never seen. And here's another tragedy. These people, they knew the scriptures. They had memorized them. They had studied them. They had taught them. They carried them around in these little boxes. And yet they completely missed the one that the scriptures were revealing. So let me ask you, can the same thing happen to us? Can someone know Bible stories, memorize Bible verses, quote scripture, attend worship services every week, and still not truly know the God that the Bible is revealing? I think this is where many Christians get stuck. And I have to admit, I think this is where I have gotten stuck before. You may have grown up being brought to church and learned about Noah and David and Goliath. You learned about Daniel and the lion's den. And you've heard hundreds, maybe thousands of sermons. And yet, many of us were never taught about how these stories actually lead us to know God. Instead, Bible readings often look something like this. Have you ever been to IKEA before? Have you ever bought a piece of furniture from IKEA or a place like that? Now, think about it. Can you imagine trying to assemble a piece of furniture where there are pieces and hardware everywhere on the ground, but you have no idea what you are building? You have the instruction manual right there, but you have no idea what the picture on the box looks like. And the problem isn't that you don't have the instructions. They're right there and open. You have step one, step seven, step 1400. But because you have no idea what you're building, you really can't do it. You can put two pieces together, but you have a hard time building the entire product the way it's intended to be built. Now, I wonder, is that the way many Christians read the Bible? We know the stories, we know the commands, we know the verses, but every story seems disconnected from the next because no one ever showed us the picture on the box. So we open up our Bible and we read a chapter and then we close it and we aren't really sure what we're supposed to see. Maybe the problem isn't that we're not reading enough. Maybe the problem isn't that we don't, it isn't even that we don't know how to study, but rather the problem is that you were never taught what to look for. So here's the truth that will, I think, completely transform your Bible study. The Bible is not primarily asking, what does this tell me about me? The first question is, what does this reveal about God? Because the purpose of Scripture is not primarily about information, but about relationship. And if Jesus is right, and that eternal life is about knowing God, then every page of Scripture is another opportunity for God to introduce Himself. So tonight, I want to address this question. How can I know someone that I've never seen? And the first point is this. You've got to stop reading the Bible like it's about you or like it's about me. When you finish reading a chapter in the Bible, what's the first question that you ask yourself? Do you ask, okay, now what should I do? Or how does this apply to my life? Or maybe, what's the lesson here? Or how can I become a better Christian? Now, these are all good questions. And by the end of your Bible study, hopefully you're asking these questions. But I want to suggest to you that we've actually made, or maybe accidentally, made these the first questions. And I believe that's perhaps why many Christians have been reading the Bible their entire lives and still fail to know God. Take the parables. When we read the parables in the Gospels, the first question we should ask is not, who am I in this story? It should be, what does this reveal about God? Or maybe in the parables, what does this reveal about the king and his kingdom? And if this is true with parables, can it be true with every part of Scripture? What if every chapter, every story, every psalm, every epistle was written to answer one question? What does this reveal about God? Because that's exactly what John said Jesus came to do. In John chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus said, "No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, He has made Him known." Some versions read, "He has explained Him." So Jesus came to explain God to us. Jesus came to reveal what God is like, to introduce us to the Father. If you've ever wondered what God is really like, John says, look at Jesus. The Bible doesn't simply tell us facts about Jesus. They reveal Jesus so that through Him we can come to know the Father. So therefore, the first question we ask shouldn't be, what does this tell me about me? But what does this reveal about God? Because Jesus didn't say, and this is eternal life, that they might know themselves. And He didn't say, oh, and this is eternal life, that they might know how to live. No, He said, and this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. If eternal life is knowing God, why should I spend my Bible reading primarily trying to know myself? Imagine, after services tonight, I say to you, I'd like to introduce you to one of my friends. And you shake his hand, and then the two of you sit down together, and he starts telling you his story. He starts telling you about his life, where he grew up, about his family, about what he likes, what breaks his heart. And then while he is talking, you pull out of your pocket a mirror, and for the next 15 minutes, you're just staring at yourself in the mirror. And every time he tells you another story, you interrupt him and say, now, that's interesting, but what does that say about me? You know, eventually he's going to stop and say, well, I'm confused. Are you here to meet me? Or is this just about yourself? Now, I know that's a somewhat ridiculous story and that none of us would ever do this, but I wonder if this isn't exactly how many of us read the Bible. God reveals himself. He shows us his holiness, his justice, his mercy, his faithfulness, and his love. And before he's finished introducing himself, we interrupt him and focus more on, what does this mean about me? Now think about some of the most famous stories in scriptures. Take David and Goliath. What is a usual takeaway that maybe you've heard over the years? Maybe have you ever heard, face the giants in your life, a takeaway from David and Goliath? Well, maybe. But before David teaches us anything about courage, what does the story reveal about God? Well, one is that the battle belongs to the Lord, and that God delights in saving by his own power, not by human strength, and that God delivers those who trust in him. Or take the story of Jonah. We may often ask, well, am I running from God when we read the story? And that is a fair question. But before Jonah reveals anything about us, he reveals something about God, about a God whose mercy extends even to his enemies, a God who pursues rebels instead of abandoning them. And then you have the story of Joseph, which was talked about this morning, a story of perseverance, right? But what is the story shouting about God? That God is sovereign. He is ruler over all. And that what people intend for evil, God is able to accomplish for good. Do you see the difference? The Bible isn't first asking, where are you in this story? It is asking, what do you learn about God that you didn't know before? So imagine, I know not everyone loves puzzles, but some of you do. But imagine you're putting together a 1,000-piece puzzle. And you can study every individual piece. You can admire, even separate by colors. You can memorize the shapes. But until you've seen the picture on the box, the pieces never make sense. I think many Christians know the pieces. They know Noah. They know Abraham, David, Esther, Peter, but no one ever showed them the picture on the box. And the picture isn't Noah. The picture isn't David or Paul. The picture is God. And every story is another pixel of his portrait. Every page is another brushstroke in the revealing of his character. Every book introduces us to the same person. So the next time you open your Bibles, don't begin by asking, what does this say about me? Ask him, praying, Father, What are you showing me about yourself? Because here's the truth. When you finally see God clearly, you begin to see yourself correctly. You don't start with the mirror, you start with the face of God. And once you've seen Him, then you're finally ready to ask now, what has to happen in me? Or what needs to change in me? So, how can I know someone that I've never seen? Well, first, I have to stop reading the Bible like it's about me. And secondly, I also have to start looking for God on every page. So far, we've been talking about a principle, but let's practice this together just a little bit. Go to Mark chapter 2 in your Bibles. Mark chapter 2, and we'll be reading one of his miracles there, one of his very familiar miracles there in the first 12 verses. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the story of Jesus healing the paralytic. You remember the story. You've got this paralyzed man who hears that Jesus is there. Of course, he can't get there on his own, so four friends bring him. But the crowd is so large, they can't get their friend to see Jesus. So they make their way up on the roof, and the friends tear a hole through the roof and lower him down to be in front of Jesus. As we read this together, let's have a different question in mind. Don't ask again, what should I do or how does this apply to me, but rather just answer this. What does this reveal about Jesus, or what do I learn about Jesus here? Mark 2, verse 1. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Now think to yourself. You do not need to answer out loud, but just think to yourself, who's this story about? Is it about the paralytic? The four friends? Is it about the scribes? Is it about the crowd? Well, they're definitely a part of the story, but the story is not about them. The story is about Jesus. In fact, every person in the story is there because of Jesus. The entire story revolves around him. Now, I want you to imagine that you're a detective and you're looking for clues. Not about the paralytic or the friends, but about Jesus. So what do I learn about Jesus here? Well, we'll look first in verse 5, where it says, "And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.'" What do we learn about Jesus here? Well, the thing that first jumps out to me is that Jesus forgives sins. But before that even, he notices faith. In fact, he not only notices, but he responds to faith. Maybe said another way, faith matters to him. And something else I see is that while the friends brought this paralyzed man to Jesus to be healed of his physical infirmity, Jesus was going to deal first with his sin problem. So forgiveness is Jesus' main concern. It's his priority number one. We look at verses 6 through 8. After I catch up. In verses 6 through 8, it says, "Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?' And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, 'Why do you question these things in your hearts?'" Now you notice these people in the crowd, these religious leaders, they were not saying anything, but Jesus knew. And so we understand perhaps first of all that Jesus knows the thoughts of men. He sees what no one else can see. But we also see kind of by extension, by their very statement that only God can forgive sins, we learned that Jesus is God. And then if we look down in verse 10, where it says, Jesus says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," well, what does that teach us about Jesus? Well, it tells us that Jesus has authority. He has divine authority that belongs only to God. So I imagine there are more things we could learn about Jesus, but let's take a step back now and let's think. What kind of a portrait is beginning to emerge from this story? The portrait here is that we have a Savior who sees faith, he knows hearts, he forgives sins, he possesses divine authority, and he cares about our greatest spiritual need. Now, do you see what just happened? You've just studied the Bible. Without realizing it, we've gotten to know God just a little bit better. So let me ask you something. Did you need a seminary or a preaching degree in order to get to these truths? Did we need to go to the Greek or some commentary or spend 20 minutes debating some obscure interpretation? No, we just kept asking one question. What does this reveal about Jesus? And suddenly, the chapter becomes alive. And that is Bible studies. Not because commentaries are bad, and not because the Greek isn't valuable. Those things can be wonderful tools, but those tools are intended to help us see the same things more clearly, and that is God. Imagine reading this passage the way we might typically do, asking, well, which person am I in the story? Am I the paralytic? Am I one of the four friends? Might I be one of the scribes? Now, those aren't wrong questions, but they come later. Because if you identify yourself in this story before you identify God, you've already started in the wrong place. Because the first question is not, where am I in this story? But rather, who is Jesus? Now, here's what excites me. That we've just learned something about Mark 2. But we didn't just learn something about Mark 2. We've learned, in fact, a way that we should be reading the entire Bible. Tomorrow morning, in your Bible reading, you can open up Jeremiah chapters 17, 18, and 19, or wherever you might be in your own daily Bible reading. And before you ask anything else, ask, what is God revealing about himself? And I think you'll be amazed at how many things you have read before, perhaps for years and years, that you've actually never seen. Because every part of God's work is another brushstroke, another piece of the puzzle in God's portrait. And I would encourage you, if you're a part of the Daily Bible Reading in Light Post, that as you look for what you learn about God, that you maybe choose to make a comment about what did you see about God in this? The Bible isn't just about giving us information. It's about introducing us to a person, an eternal spiritual being, the creator and sustainer of all. And the longer we study it, the clearer his face becomes. So, how can I know someone I've never seen before? Well, I have to stop reading the Bible like it's about me, and I have to start looking for God on every page. But I've got one more thing, and I think this is pretty incredible. If you've really met God in his word, and you've recognized his patience, his faithfulness, his holiness, his love, then John says something rather astonishing, that the God you've been learning to recognize in Scripture is supposed to be recognized in you. Look at what John says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12. He says, "No one has ever seen God." Hold it. I thought we've heard this before. It seems like this is a repeating thought. John seems to love saying this. In fact, if you recall, in the Gospel of John chapter 1:18, he says, "No one has ever seen God," the exact thing. And in John 5:37, he says, "His form you have never seen." And now, here in 1 John, he says the same thing once again. I think it's that he wants us to wrestle with this. How do you know someone that you've never seen? And that's the question we've been trying to answer all evening. In the Gospel, John answers this question by telling his readers to look at Jesus. And that's how you see God. If you want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. But now, here in this letter, John does something I think rather unexpected. He begins exactly the same way, and just when you're expecting him to once again say, "Look at Jesus," what does he say? He says, "No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." Now, did you catch that? Did you see what he just said? He didn't say God isn't invisible anymore, that God is now palpable. No, rather he further describes how the invisible God is seen, not only through Jesus, but also through his people. Think about what we've been doing tonight. We've been opening our Bibles and asking, what does this reveal about God? We've discovered perhaps his holiness, his mercy, his patience and compassion and faithfulness. We've started to learn to recognize God. But here John says that process isn't supposed to stop when you close your Bible. The very chapter you've been admiring and reading is supposed to be visible in you. The God you've been learning to recognize should be recognizable through your life. Now imagine someone who's never read the Bible. Maybe they've never stepped foot inside of a church building. They know nothing about Christianity, but this person knows you. Would they learn that God is patient because you are patient? Would they learn that God forgives because you forgive other people? Would they learn that God is compassionate because they see you showing empathy? Would they learn that God is holy because they see your life is different? Would they learn that God is gracious because you treated them with kindness? John is saying something, I think, rather breathtaking. The world still cannot see God or Jesus with physical eyes, but every act of genuine Christian love becomes another glimpse of him. Remember how we started off this lesson? I told you that we often read the Bible as someone staring into the mirror instead of looking for God. Well, tonight we've been trying to get our eyes off of ourselves and onto him. But now, At the very end, John quietly turns the mirror around. Not so that we can admire ourselves, but so that we can ask one final question. When people look at me, can they see the God that I've been getting to know? Because Bible study was never meant to be only about information, it was meant to end with imitation. Maybe that's why Jesus didn't simply say, "Read your Bible." He said, "Follow me." Because the goal is not merely to know facts about God, it's to become transformed by knowing God so that his character begins to shine through us. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another." Notice that order. We behold him first, and then we become like him. Not perfectly, but progressively. So, the next time you open your Bible, don't just ask, "What can I learn today?" Rather ask, "Father, show me who you are." And when you close your Bible, don't just ask, "Well, what did I learn?" But ask, "If someone spends time with me today, will they leave knowing God just a little bit better?" Because that is how you get to know someone you've never seen before. You look for him in his word until the day that his character becomes so deeply formed in your life that someone else begins to see him in you. And perhaps that's the greatest compliment that a Christian could ever receive. "I've never seen God, but after spending time with you, I think I know him a little bit better." How does the world get to know someone they've never seen? By seeing him in his people. Do you know God? Do you have a relationship with God? Is there any way that we might be able to help you with this? If there is, please let us know. Just come and find one of us and let us know. Or you can come forward now as we stand and sing together.